Thinking if I told you a month ago that within just a few short weeks we would not be able to greet each other
with a handshake, we would not be able to send our children to school, many would not be able to go to work, our parking lot on Lord's Day would be empty, we would not be able to assemble ourselves together. I wonder what you would have said. But you know, the amazing thing about being God's people is that for every situation in our life, God has a message for that time and that place to his people. And so this morning, we'd like for you to tune in as we meet doing live broadcasts until we're able to gather ourselves together again. And ask each of you in the church to bring your Bibles each point in time. Bring a notebook, and we'll give you some thoughts and some ideas and let you get into a Bible study on some things that we will be discussing. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Haggai. You know, I was thinking as I was studying this week that the message to Haggai that Haggai gave to the people, he was giving to a people that was going through a lot of things very similar to what we're going through. And so this morning, if you go to the book of Haggai, it's a third book from the end in the Old Testament. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They were all contemporaries of each other. They were sent to speak to the children of Israel when they had left their captivity from Babylon and went to rebuild the temple and went to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And as most of you know, going back in the Bible, you can and knowing the children of Israel had to spend 70 years under the thumb of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon because they had failed to keep the Sabbath of the land because of sin and forgetting God. And so therefore, God told them that he would let the land rest and they would be for 70 years because of 490 years they had failed to keep the Sabbath. They would be captives in the land of Babylon. Of course, they also didn't realize as they was being taken captivity that Nebuchadnezzar and his army would destroy Jerusalem, the city, the walls, and the temple, Solomon's temple that they were so proud of. And after 70 years, God raised up a king. His name was Cyrus. The amazing thing about it was that in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1, Cyrus was foretold 200 years before he was born, called by name, that he would be the one that would deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of Babylon. It's amazing to serve a God that knows us before we're ever born, knows our name and knows everything about us. God is amazing, and what we find in his word is amazing. Well, Cyrus came and he allowed the people of Israel, a remnant of them, under the direction of a governor and Zerubbabel, and Joshua, the high priest, to return to their city and to rebuild their city. Cyrus not only permitted them to go, but he also helped fund the rebuilding project that they would have. They were excited to go back to their land. They found it in ruins, and they began to rebuild. They put a foundation for the temple up, but they found many obstacles. The Samaritans, in which had got used to being on their land, were opposed to them rebuilding the city. And therefore also, as Cyrus died, his son came to reign for just a short period of time. He committed suicide, another king rose up, and the Samaritans were able to convince him to not fund the project. And so they got discouraged, they left the foundation alone, and now it'd been 16 years when Haggai was sent to the people of Israel. In those 16 years, he came at a time when the people were working, but their crops was not producing anything. There was drought, there was mildew, there was all kinds of issues besides the opposition that they were running into. And so therefore, they were having a hard time trying to make ends meet. They could not meet because they didn't have a temple to meet in. They had left off the building project for 16 years and had went about their own lives, building their own houses. And so God sent Haggai with five messages, and we won't look at those messages today, just touch on each one and see a truth that God would have for us. If you'll notice in the very first chapter, in verse number 1, the Bible says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and have not enough. Ye drink and ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages put in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, think about this just a moment, because Haggai come to these people. They had begun to neglect the house of God. They had quit worshiping God as they should have. And you know, it's going to be very easy during this time when we're not able to meet in our houses of worship to neglect the worship of God. But we have to understand that God is in charge of all things. Now, in these messages I want to share with you today, I want us to look and I want us to think about a couple of things that the people of Israel was going through, God's people, during a time in which Haggai brought these messages to them. If you look in chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, you'll find the first message that Haggai brought to them was a message of rebuke. He rebuked them because they had forgotten God. They had left off the house of God. They had forgotten the things of the house of God. And I'll tell you one thing, when God enables us to come back together, I'm going to have a deeper appreciation for the privilege of being able to come together in the house of God. I'm going to thank him thoroughly that we're able to gather together once again, see your faces, to sing songs together, to be able to hear testimony, be able to share the word of God with you. But it's very important during this time in which the governor has decreed that we cannot assemble ourselves together, that you do not forget the importance of the house of God. No, do not forget that we're still able to worship God wherever we may be. And so the people of God here need a reminding by the prophet of Haggai to be interested in the house of God and get back to the commission in which they were given. You know, I can think of no greater time that we could have a message to lost people right now, as many people are very confused. They're anxious. They're scared. That was the condition of the people here that Haggai came to. Everything they did seemed to turn out to be nothing. They couldn't get their crops to come in. The money they would earn, it just went out the window. And they couldn't understand why they were not being blessed by God. And so Haggai came to them. He told them, you look down in verse number 11, he said, I called for the drought. Who called for the drought? God called for the drought. He said, I called for the drought upon the land and upon the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labors of the hands. In other words, what God wanted him to know was he's responsible for what's going on. And let me ask you this. Who do you think allowed the pestilence to go around the world right now? Who do you think is in charge of that? You think God doesn't know? What should we be doing as God's people during this time? We're living in a time, I'm 62 years old, just turned this month. I've never in my life been forbidden to come into the house of God and worship as a church. I've never had time in my life when I've seen the things that we've seen in the last few weeks. Still, we don't know where tomorrow may bring as far as the virus is concerned, but thank God we know who holds tomorrow. So what should we be doing as God's people? What Haggai wanted Israel to know is they need to get back to work. They need to get concentrated back on the commission which God called them. What has God called the church to do? To preach the gospel to the end of the world? The fact that we can't assembly this morning, does that prevent us from sharing the gospel with other people? As I said, I can't think of a better time that people would be interested in hearing something from heaven when everything's out of control in their lives. I've talked to many this last week that's been very confused. Some have been very scared. And they're looking for answers. God gives us the answer as far as his people. He talks about when pestilences come. Solomon, when he built the temple, said when pestilence would come, what could they do? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. My friends, our land needs a healing like it's never needed before. So we as God's people, we must heed the words of Haggai. And we must consider our ways. We must do some self-judgment. So it's a perfect time to stop and look and say, God, where do I stand? How am I as your people? Have I forsaken, have I taken for granted the house of God? Second of all, I want you to know, the second message that he did was one commendation. He commended them in verses number 12 through 15. We find that after Haggai come and told them, they got busy and they went to work. And they got working, trying to rebuild the temple and rebuild the things in which they were supposed to do. But God reminded them, if you look in verse number 13 of chapter 1, he reminded them, he said, "Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord." Again on over there, he reminded them again that he was with them in chapter 2 and verse 4. And he said, "I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Folks, all we have to know as God's people is this one simple thing. God's still with us. I don't care what the news broadcast is doing. I don't care what's going on throughout the world. We as God's people, we have a comfort. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the world." It's so comforting to know that God is with us. In regards to what we're facing, what obstacles we're facing, what a comfort to know that God is there. If there's anything in the world that should be able to calm God's people down during this time, it should be the presence of God. And knowing that not even a hair falls off our head that he does not know about. And he's concerned with us. He'll watch over us. You say, "Well, preacher, what if I catch it? What if I die? Are we threatened with heaven?" Thank God we have a better place waiting. But until that time, God's perfectly able to keep us safe. He's perfectly able to put a hedge around us and protect us. But the people of Israel, after they got busy working, they're much like us. They got sidetracked a little bit. In chapter 2, in verse number 3, Haggai asked the question, how many people was there that had seen Solomon's temple? You see, there was an issue going on as they began to build the temple. The older people that had saw Solomon's temple was not impressed with the new temple of Zerubbabel. And they were kind of disappointed. One place in the Bible, it says the old men wept while the young men shouted. And so they were kind of discouraged, seeing that it was not building up to what Solomon's temple had built. And so what God did was, in these passages, he reminds them, he sends them a message of encouragement in the first 9 verses of chapter 2. And he reminds them, if you look in verse number 5 of chapter 2, he says, "According to the word that I have covenanted with you, when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you." Notice the last 3 words. "Fear you not." In other words, he says, "Listen, I have not forgot my covenant with you. You are my coveted people. I have not forgotten you. And even though you've forgotten me, I want you to know I'm still with you. My spirit is still among you." And you know, I'm so glad that when you're a child of God, the Bible says the moment we get saved, that his spirit indwells in us. Our body becomes a temple of God. The Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And it's so good to know that his spirit is with us. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so therefore, when all the world may be afraid and fearful, he said, "Don't be fearful. You're still my coveted people. My spirit is with you." And so therefore, he encourages them to realize and recognize that he is God. In verse number 9, he even goes as far to, he said, "You're talking about this temple that you're building, and you're worrying about the impressiveness of it." He said, "Let me tell you about the temple that the Messiah is going to have, and the glory that's going to be revealed then. And none of these others has nothing to compare. Not even Solomon can compare with what Jesus is going to do in his temple." And so therefore, we all have a better day awaiting if we are God's people. We look forward to a time when God is going to come among us. He's going to call us home, and he's going to set upon his throne. He's going to reign in his temple. And lo and behold, that temple is going to be something to behold. So therefore, what we need to understand is this. We take one day at a time, each and every day. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know when the governor may lift up any bans he has on us. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. I do know who's in charge of tomorrow. If you look back in chapter 2 and verse number 7, he says, I will shake the nations and desire of the nations. I'll fill this house with glory. God's able to do anything he wants to do. He can change the hearts of a king. He can turn them. He can shake the nations up. He can call for pestilence. He can remove pestilence. He can call for droughts. He can remove droughts. Heaven's in charge of all this. And I'm glad that we as God's people, we know in whom we believe. And therefore we know in who's overseeing all this. So therefore what we need to do is we need to turn to him, turn from our wicked ways. We need to pray, humble ourselves, seek him, and ask for the healing of the land. And so we need to continue to do as God instructed through his word. The fourth message that we find that Haggai had to the people of Israel was in verses 10 through 19 in chapter 2. Now, if you look there with me, he began to ask the priest a couple questions. He asked them about certain things they were doing and if they could be holy and stand before the Lord in what they were doing. And their answer was no. And so this was a message of purity. They had gotten where they was running around with unclean people, mixing and matching with people that God had forbidden them to do. And so what he was calling them to do is come out and be separate and remember who they were, remember who they served, remember what he expected of them. And so therefore, what he wanted them to do was he wanted them to come and he wanted them to cleanse themselves. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. It's a time when we need to concentrate. We need to get pure before God. Everything that they were doing, their blessings were being withheld. People ask me sometimes, they say, what's going on with the nation? Is God not blessing our nation anymore? God's blessed this nation tremendously. He continues to do many things. And if you've ever gone into other countries, as I have, you would appreciate what God's done through this country. But it is time for God's people in this country to realize who they are and what they are and begin to set themselves aside during this time. Pray. I know in the last 2 weeks, I probably prayed more than I prayed in some time. And so God has allowed this time that we can stop, spend some time praying for our country, praying for those affected by the virus, praying for our president, for our governor, praying for other church members, praying for those who's recovering from surgery, lifting those up, praying for the lost people that doesn't have God during this time. And so it's a time in which we need to hear the message that Haggai preached to Israel. Set yourself aside, a message of purity. Then if you look on, the verse 20 through 23 of chapter 2, the last message that Haggai shared with them, he says, again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speaking to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots, those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by his sword of his brother. Then he also goes down and he says that he will make Zerubbabel, in verse 23, a signet, For I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, he said he would put his seal upon them. But what he wanted us to know is this. Is there anything too hard for God? God can do anything he wants to do. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There's nothing he can't do. He's all-knowing. And so we serve a God who sits in heaven, and he can do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do. That ought to be a comfort to us to still know that we serve the living God. And we have him to turn to during this time. We don't have to fear what man may do to us. We don't have to fear what pestilence may do. We don't have to fear what a drought may do. And here he was sending a message of assurance and safety and letting them know that he was not going to forget his people, that he was going to call them out. There was going to be a time when he was going to shake heaven and earth, and the Messiah was going to come, and he was going to raise up his people, and he was going to put a seal upon them, and they would be his representative. He didn't forget who they were. And my friend, if you're a child of God, God's not forgotten who you are. He's still there for you. And thank God he's able to do everything he wants to do. Now let me say a couple of words before I close. One is, it's true that things seem to be out of control. Seem like the country, the crisis of this issue that we're facing with the virus. Seem like all kinds of places we turn, people, homes, churches, families, seem like they're falling apart. And so when we look and we realize that things are out of control sometimes, there's some circumstances that we can't control. I wish I could. I would put a stop to the virus today. But it's out of my control. But there are some things that I can control. I can control my actions. I can control my thoughts. I can control my words. And so therefore, I can put my mind upon the Lord. The Bible says, perfect peace has he whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in the Lord. I can trust in the Lord and put my faith and trust in him during this time. Why? Because, friend, he still is in control. He's not lost control, and he's still in charge. And so today, if you have fears, anxiety, remember the message of Haggai to the people of God. Don't forget the house of God. Don't forget our commission. What is our commission? Our commission is to preach the gospel to every creature. What's the church? The church is a body of Christ. We come together, we grow together, we edify each other. And God's given us each other to help as we go through this old world. In mentioning that, let me just say this to the church. I appreciate each of you that's called and you wanted to send your tithes and offerings, want to know how to do that. Because you realize that the bills go on. You realize we have missionaries all over the world that we're supporting. And speaking of those, let me say, we have some missionaries that's in very hot spots. We have Brother Palmer in China. You need to pray for him. We have Brother Dan Hyden in New York with a church speaking to the Russian people. We need to pray for him. We need to lift up all our missionaries. And so I appreciate each of you that have called and want to know what you could do, because you realize that the work that God's called us to do doesn't stop just because there's a virus here. I'm glad that we can still go out and we can share the gospel with other people. We can still pray unto God. We can still worship him. And dear friends, that's what we need to be doing during this time in which we are waiting to see what's going to be the end of this virus. And how it's going to come about, and what it's going to do to our country before it's through. But thank God we've got one that we go to, and we need to be going to him. Second of all is this, again, be reassured. He is with us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And so we have him. And so we need to pray to him. And so this morning I want to pray. And I want to end this with prayer. And then we're going to let one of the young men play a melody on the guitar. But this morning I want you to go with me and sit and consider. Consider your ways. And think about, were we taking the house of God for granted? Were we doing what we should have been doing in the house of God? If not, we need to consider our ways. And I want you to remember, those of you of the church, I want you to remember Brother Porter as he continues to heal. Pray for him. We miss his presence and his family's presence. Miss his leading the singing, playing the piano for us. Also want to remember Brother Hawk and Lou and keep praying for them as they recover. Remember Mom. Pray for her as she continues to deal with issues. And we want you to encourage you to pray for our president. Pray for the governor. Pray for those affected by the virus. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have you to look to, that we don't have to fear as those that doesn't have you. We don't have to worry. And Heavenly Father, will help us to share with the lost people that may be listening to this broadcast this morning, that you have a message for them too. That you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That to as many as received him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. And that by believing in Christ and his finished work upon Calvary, they could come to the salvation of their souls. And Lord, what a time to be living without you. I'm so glad that I know in whom I believe. Now I'm persuaded, dear my Father, in everything that you've told us. I'm glad that in a time of confusion, in a time, dear Heavenly Father, of trouble, I'm glad that you have a message for your people. And it's one of comforting us. It's one of instruction. And Heavenly Father, it's one to get us to consider our ways and examine ourselves. We do pray for all these we mentioned. And Lord, all the families that's been affected during this time. We pray that through this, our nation would look up, because it has nowhere else to look. To look up and look to you for the answers. And God, help us be faithful stewards in providing the answers to questions when we are addressed with those. Just go with us. Be with the church family, dear Heavenly Father, in our absence of gathering together. And Lord, we look forward to the time that we can come back. And Lord, we're thankful that you made a means in which we can still share a message even when we can't gather together. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
I also wanted to mention to you that
on the website there will be a post office box that you can send your tithes and offerings to. Those of you who need to know, it's Jordan Baptist Church, post office box 41, Bronston, Kentucky, 42518. And so those of you who've been asking, that will be a secure place that you don't have to worry about something happening to them. And we appreciate you continuing the work of the church here. Those of you who may be guests at join in with us today. We're thankful that you join in this morning. Come back and be with us. We'll be sharing another live broadcast Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then, Lord's will, next Sunday at 10 a.m., we'll be back here again if the governor doesn't allow us to gather together. Thank you very much. God bless. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.